Okay, I have my devices rolling, Chair, and the floor is yours.
All right. Good evening, everyone. We are the Harbor Advisory Board, and I'd like to call this meeting to order. Lori, could you please do roll call of the members present?
You're muted, Lori.
Member Dowdy?
Here.
Chair Hansen?
Here.
Member O'Brien?
Present.
Member Vail?
Here I am.
And I'll say Member Myerson. Okay. You have a quorum.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. We'd like to take this moment to have a moment of silence. So please take this moment to think about things that are going on in the world today. All right, and Jean, could you start us off in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, for liberty and justice for all, or individual, for liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Close.
Okay, so we have a quorum of four. We're missing Member Lynn Myerson today, and we're also missing, as you might have noticed, we're down one member tonight, which was Dana McLish. He served on the board and resigned recently due to family needs. We all want to say thank you to him for his time, positive energy, and service to the Harbor Advisory Board. I will begin shortly asking board members about any announcements they may have. I want to ask that each member update us on their respective committees they chose during our last meeting. We started a committee called Paid Parking and Aquarium, of which Member Dowdy and Myerson started. And then we also have the Working Waterfront, which includes Member O'Brien and Member Vail. So beginning next meeting, they will be agendized. But for today, a brief update, if any, would be appreciated during the announcement section of this meeting. As well, if anybody has anything to include in any of their outreach groups. On that note, do we have a member who would like to go first, or should I just start calling names? All right, calling names. Do we have Member O'Brien?
Yes, good evening. To be perfectly honest with you, I haven't done a whole lot on the Working Waterfront, Charisse. Although what I was hoping to key into was various fundings that have been made available in the last few years through that, and I couldn't find anything for us or this area. What I was hoping to do at some point before I take off is get up with Eric, because I know Eric's had some not dealings in the past, but looked into it in the past. So Eric, hopefully you and I can get together before I take off and get more information on it.
And this is Chris.
With the fishing out front, it's good to report that there's a few salmon, not large numbers, but nice numbers. Price started between $12 and $12.50 here in town, a pound, and has since dropped to $10.50. And that's the dock price. I don't know what, the price is. A lot of buyers who will show up from other areas and I don't know what they're offering right now, but it's 10:50 in town here. So hopefully everybody can grab a couple of pounds. And that's about it for now. Yep.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you very much. All right. A member Dowdy.
On the aquarium front, I put a call into the aquarium people down in Port St. Louis, and I have not received any word back from them. So I don't know where they stand on that one. On the old aquarium building down on the Embarcadero, Three Stacks and the Rock are pursuing ahead on the reconstruction of the interior first floor. They're going to be putting in a Three Stacks and Rock brewery, and they're moving ahead on some of my tasks for the outreach. The sport fishing people I've been talking to say that they're concerned about the boat launch and any work that can be done to improve it. Apparently, there's quite a few potholes, and it's hard for some of the boats to come out without breaking some of their straps because they're hitting the potholes. And also, there used to be some lines that were parallel with the ramp itself, and it would make it easier for people to back down if those lines were repainted again. That's about all I've got.
All right. I have a question, maybe if you checked in with them or if Eric knows, do we have an opening date or a time that Three Stacks and a Rock is thinking that they might be opening?
Well, Gene, you may have an idea. They're moving along pretty well with their interior work. We've got some obligations to do some sewer lateral and other work. Concurrent with that, their original plan was to be open for this summer and be operational this summer. I don't know if Gene, if you've got anything different than that.
I think probably mid-summer would be more likely.
Turning out to be more work than they anticipated. Every time, you know, it's like an onion, you peel back a layer and they discover something new.
Right.
I don't think I'm surprised.
Gene, one of the things that I worked on and talked to the city manager, Scott Collins, about was painting the curbs. I know that that committee is working on parking and paid parking. One of the things that Scott said that would seem very doable is at least getting our curbs painted a neutral tone instead of this chipped away, distressed green that was left over from when we wanted to do the 2-hour. So anyway, if you get a chance to talk to him, he might be somebody that would be good to get into that area of the parking part of that committee. So
okay. And then parking out at the Rock, I know that Eric will probably fill up on the rest of that item right there.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that takes us to member Chris Vail.
Hi. We met with Eric on the budget. I've still got to get down to the waterfront and see what, from my perspective, priority issues might look like, just to familiarize myself. Secondarily, Jeremiah, in your stuff, I think you and I need to get together at some point. So if you're going to get together with Eric on any part of this, I would love to sit in.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah.
Well, I'm still getting oriented.
Yeah. Of course.
Somebody give me a shout.
Will do.
Yeah. And, do I have anything else? I don't think so. Am I responsible for anything else? I was kind of waiting, for a call from Dana to have a further sit down and, considered myself a sub member of that committee. And now I'm, he still offered to, share his knowledge. So I'll be doing that, but, I'm feeling lonely, now that I'm the only member on that committee, boatyard issue and stuff.
Well, we'll get to that in that section of the agenda where we're going to talk about maybe we can get another member in for you. But Eric's always there. You can always chat with him about that. And meeting with Dana would be a really good, really good idea. I know that I've been talking to Ron here and there. And if they have some time, it's really advantageous to get their background when you're in there.
Yeah. Ron stopped by and I chatted with him here 10 days ago. Anyway, move on.
Okay. So I have my announcements, and then I was going to ask Council Member Addis. Is she with us?
Yes, I do see her in the queue here for public. I can go ahead and unmute.
Just knowing that she's there, I'm going to ask her after I put in my announcements if that's the right spot for that. Okay, so I'll do my announcements. Updates regarding my outreach to the community group. The master leaseholders of the Embarcadero, they have been advocating certain things, which they sent emails into the city council, and they spoke during public comment at the last city council meeting. They have many concerns about the plan Morro Bay that is being addressed at council right now. They are concerned about the outcome if it is approved by the council as it reads currently. The group's representative, Kathy Novak, submitted a detailed email to the council that went into agenda correspondence. And I feel that all of us should take the time to look at that and read what their concerns are for the Tyburn's properties and how they're being represented in the Plan Morro Bay. And next I have, a while back I designed a window decal for the Tyburn's Trust lessees to post in their windows. Right now, during this pandemic, people are becoming more aware of how important it is to shop local and not just shop at the big box stores because it's cheaper. They are realizing more and more that being part of the community and giving into the community that stays in the community is important. And then also the Tidelands properties, they give, between 3% and 5% and then base rent to the harbor department. And that's a really positive thing. That's for our harbor and for the personnel, as well as just the maintenance of the bay itself. So I designed this, and let's see if you can see it. But at the bottom, it says a portion of your proceeds of your purchase goes to, I'm reading this backwards and through the camera, protecting our harbor. So if we're able to give these out as decals to a lot of the sublease, subtenants, and tenants of the Tidelands, I think it would be a really positive thing for shoppers to see on the door, and then even more so understand that every dollar that they spend is going to something positive. And Eric, do we know how we might be giving these to the subtenant, to the tenants of Tidelands?
As in physically how?
Yeah, physically. I was thinking that maybe we could send them in the statements, the monthly statements, and try and give as many as the master leaseholders have at their addresses.
Yeah, that's one way. I mean, put them into, they're fairly large, right? They look like they're, put them in, do they fit into a big mailing envelope?
We could go by and give them individually. I'd be fine with doing that, but sometimes you don't see the actual owner of the business each time that you stop. So it'd be nice for them to not just shovel it in on top of other papers. But I would say the mail would be the best way for me.
For some of them, I think for larger ones, and I'll just use Stan Trapp as an example. You know, he's got all sub. I mean, he runs windows. Mm-hmm. But he's got a lot of subtenants there, and I don't know, probably a combination might work as well, mailing and delivery to the site.
Or even mentioning that the master leaseholders should have the tenants go down to the harbor and pick one up too.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, so another thing that I wanted to mention is that as a business owner on the Tyburn Trust lease leases, I had my best month ever last month in 22 years. I had the best month ever. So I know that 1% for sales tax to the city was initiated last month. And so I think that we might see some really great revenue coming in for the city as well as for the harbor itself. I did notice that my neighbor was mentioned as one of the top sales producers in Morro Bay. Where do we go? Oh, wait, sorry. My computer shut down.
You can hear us.
All right. I don't know where it went. All right, now you're tiny in my computer, but we're going to keep going. So my neighbor got mentioned as one of the top 10 for Embarcadero sales. So if I had one of my best months and they're doing better than me, then the harbor is looking pretty good as far as revenue this year, which is a really positive thing after coming out of a year of pandemic and stress. And then also we have a new addition to the waterfront in front of the Porthouse restaurant. It's called the Boatyard Marketplace, and they're going to have their soft opening this Saturday. So that's something to look forward to and to come down and notice another new business opening up on the Embarcadero, which is a positive thing for coming out of this pandemic. And then also I'd like to mention that on June 26th is the Harbor Swap Meet. And I know that there's going to be a lot of art pieces that are going to be for sale there that will go towards the Harbor Fund, including this one, which is about 5 feet tall and it's valued at $600. So, and it's brand new. So there's a lot of things down there for people to go come and take a look at. So, okay, so that's it for me. And then we had Council Member Addis with us. If we can unmute her and ask her if she has anything to add into announcements.
I will do that. Please stand by.
Hi, good evening. I hope everyone's doing well. I don't have a whole lot of new announcements other than I think what Eric has put a number of updates in the staff report for you. I did find out, Charisse, I know you were wondering about the Harbor Advisory Board. So the interviews for the advisory board will be next week on Tuesday, May 11th at 3:30 via Zoom. And you can get that the link to that on the agenda packet. And we'll be having interviews for one vacancy for the marine oriented business position and two alternates for the commercial fishing organization. And there is still a vacancy for the recreational boating representative. So there's we're still accepting applications for that. And then Charisse, I know you had asked me about the goals. So council will go through goal setting around August or September, but there's been no date agendized. And we would love to have input on those goals. And then once the goals are set, we send them back to the advisory board so that you can use them to inform your work plans.
All right, wonderful.
Before you go, there's one public announcement I'd like to make.
Okay.
As you know, the dredge is coming in, I believe, this weekend. And the channel markers have been removed. So the boaters need to be aware that there is no channel markers. And Eric can probably follow up on that.
Okay. All right.
And then,
okay.
This is Anthony from AGP. I just wanted to mention something very quick. Chris, the gentleman who has called in, I was just going to say on your end, when you are not talking, please try to mute your phone because. What it's doing is every time that it takes even a smidget of sound from your phone, it takes over the screen. And I was going to try to mute you and then unmute you, but that would make it difficult if you wanted to talk. So I was going to leave it in your hands for that, but if you can do that, that would be great, please. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. We're going to open up public comment before I do that. I'm going to make the statement that there was a executive order N2920 issued by Governor Newsom on March 27th, 2020, that this meeting will be conducted telephonically through Zoom and broadcast live on cable channel 20 and streamed on the city website. Please be advised that pursuant to any executive order and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that can spread COVID-19 virus, the Vets Hall will not be open for this meeting. And so, Anthony, do we have anybody in the queue for a public comment at this time?
Thank you, Chair Hansen. I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
All right. Thank you. So we move on to consent calendar. And so if we have one item under consent, which is the staff report, would anybody like to pull the staff report at this time?
You got some minutes there too.
So should I do the minutes? I'll do the minutes first. So would anyone like to pull either of those items, minutes or staff report? I will pull the staff report. And so on that, can we approve the minutes first?
Chris Thayil moves we approve.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Minutes have been approved, and so now we can move on to questions on the staff report. So, Eric, I do know that Member Dowdy asked about parking at the Rock and traffic flow, and there's a little section in there. Can you just go into a little detail as far as the parking that you're working on? And if you have any pictures of what it's going to look like or a description of what this might end up looking like?
You got to go with the description. I have no pictures. So as you all know, last year, probably in March or April, when the pandemic started, we were having a good amount of visitorship out to the Rock. And because the parking kind of fell to its own natural ways out there, everybody parked close together, and of course everybody wants to get as close to the water as they can. We began striping the Rock with chalk, kind of following what the Easter Sunrise Services has been doing out there for decades, and worked very well. Instead of everybody lining up, the row against the water, and then everybody just coming back parallel to that, we started putting perpendicular rows in, and that created better organization. We're able to space the spaces out larger than your typical 9 foot. I think we went to 12 foot just so we got social distancing when people were parking. But it also made for better organization in terms of just general traffic flow, but more importantly for emergency traffic flow when we get a call. Both us and the fire department and often the Coast Guard have to go down there by vehicle. And some days it was getting so bad you could barely get emergency traffic in there. So we started chalking all last summer. Into the fall, as winter got a little bit slower, although didn't slow down as much as it normally did, we began backing off and started looking for a more permanent solution because we just can't keep up the chalking. Really, to do it adequately, it's got to be done at least twice a week, depending on rain and wind and everything else and usage. So the city and our department in particular, just don't have the staff to maintain that. So we started looking for alternatives. One of the alternatives that we attempted was that line of sort of yellow poles. They're about 3 inches in diameter. They're yellow. They're towards the Rock end of the lot. We tried to put down a set of those, pinned them in with rebar, in which in and of themselves they worked okay. But the problem was the folks jamming in the rebar into the ground were quickly hitting a lot of rock because that parking lot was built from quarried material from the Rock from a large part to build that whole thing up. And it's been filled with red rock and other things over the years. So they weren't able to get the rebar in. So we abandoned that after one row. Then began looking for a different alternative. We looked at a bunch of wooden pilings. We've got surplus old used wooden pilings. We've had mostly over in the Triangle parking lot that we've collected on different projects over the years and some other piles. We started looking at trying to make some sort of linking log arrangements where we have two little end pieces and a piling set on top to create sort of a bumper and make rows of bumpers. The problem with that is we didn't have enough material to cover all the different rows. And lumber, as you all know, has gotten very expensive. So mostly it was just because of the consistency and the look. We didn't have enough of the same kind of pilings to make it look consistent. It would have been a real patchwork and probably wouldn't have been real popular. So we began looking for other alternatives, and we came across some surplus concrete pilings, 14-inch diameter, 25 to 30 feet long, Associated Pacific has them in their yard, pulled out of old marinas up and down the state. And so we started looking into those and putting those in, and that's what we're pursuing now, is running parking bumper rows with pilings that'll be placed on the ground in sort of a bed of red rock so they won't roll. Looking at potential cradles later if that doesn't work, but basically lining up concrete pilings end to end along where the chalk rows were. We'll probably do chalking for a while periodically, but it seems people get in the habit pretty well of understanding what they are, especially once the locals, once that front row fills up against the water and a couple locals park up against the concrete bumpers, everybody else follows suit. So I don't think we'll have to be chalking for too much longer, but that's our plan at this point. And as far as future rock improvements, obviously, anything else that happens out there, there's a cost to that. With Associated Pacific's pilings, fortunately, we got them in a pretty good deal, but there's still a significant cost to it, to getting them out there and installing them. Anything else is going to have to come up with a funding source. Before I go into the pay parking thing, we did also, one of the other problems with the rock parking lot last summer was in the afternoons when either everybody left at the end of the day or when the wind came up and blew everybody off the beach, it would be a mass exodus, and then the parking lot would back up and the traffic would back up all the way to Beach Street, and it sometimes even go in both directions. One of the things we did is we put in sort of that in lane as you're driving just past the restroom and across the boardwalk. That's a one-way into the parking lot, and then we put those concrete sinkers and some old chain, kind of roping it off or chaining it off, going further towards the rock just to get the outgoing traffic further away from the ingoing traffic, because as it was before, everybody would just go willy-nilly and people would often, be going, say, head-on into each other, but, dodging each other going opposite directions. And so trying to get a little more semblance of order. I think we're going to continue with that into this summer and trying to do a little bit more of that, maybe with some of these extra pilings if we have any, and just making some better in and out lanes just to get some order to it. Because when everybody's left to their own devices, it just kind of turns into mayhem. So we're going to try and get a little more order in there. So that's the plan. And then pay parking, the city conducted a parking demand study later last year, maybe by fall last year. And we just saw the final draft. It just came to staff here last week. It hasn't gone public yet. I suspect it will fairly soon. It'll get to the city council for their first review. I suspect, in fact, I'm anticipating we're going to bring that through the Harbor Advisory Board and Planning Commission and other advisory bodies as well. That, as you know, the Harbor Advisory Board, a year ago now, maybe, it might have been 2 years with COVID, everything just seems to have blended together, but we're probably 2 years ago now, the Harbor Advisory Board looked at pay parking. And made some recommendations regarding not pay parking itself per se, but what the city should look at if it considers pay parking at the Rock and along the Embarcadero. So I'm sure we'll be able to pull that material back up and feed it into the system. But at some point, probably this summer, we'll be looking, the council will be starting a process to evaluate pay parking along the Embarcadero and the Rock and parts of Uptown as well up on Morby Boulevard and see if it's something the city wants to pursue.
All right. Thank you for that. And then I think we talked about it a little bit, talking about replacing member Dana McClish. How is that going to look? And you wanted to say a comment.
Yeah, so you did a great job of thanking Dana, and I will as well. He was on the HAB for 9 years, started in 2012. As a recreational boating rep and did great at that. Did a lot of wonderful work on the boatyard committee as well. So his resignation came in right as the application period for the current vacancy closed, along with some others in Planning Commission and some other advisory bodies. So we're going to be that interview. I think Councilmember Addis mentioned on June or May 11th, will be the City Council will be evaluating the interviewees we have on tap now. We've got one for the marine-oriented business, one person that has applied for that. But Dana's seat going empty was too late for that process, so his is going to go probably later in the month as a one-off. So I think it's incumbent upon all board members to start beating the bushes and see if we can find a recreational boating rep to fill Dana's seat, because it'd be great to get ourselves back up to full force and not have all these empty seats.
I'd agree with that for sure. And then I think we already talked about it a little bit, but is there any more thing to mention about the dredging?
Well, they're coming, I believe, the 7th or maybe the 8th. Might have had a little bit of a delay, but they're coming for their usual 20-ish days. Like Gene said, they pulled out a good number of the channel markers, so the channel's not marked with those buoys like they normally are. So people either need to call the dredge or the Harbor Patrol or the Coast Guard for local information if they don't know their way, which most locals hopefully do, but just need to be aware that those channel markers are gone and to contact the dredge for passing. Most people do. If you see a big ship like that in the middle of the channel, most people call pretty quickly rather than just try and guess. So it usually goes pretty smoothly. The dredge has been here, boy, it's been going on 20 years now, probably the Yaquina. So they'll be in, they'll be coming to the pier to do a crew change somewhere in the middle and then probably fueling up as well. So, but no tours, they're still on COVID lockdown.
So I have some dates if you want them. They're coming May 8th and they're departing June 1st. They'll be at the North Tee Pier May 18th and June 1st for crew change, and then fueling at the fuel dock the days prior to those dates. So those are the days that you'll see them here on land.
Therese?
Yeah.
For the butters' information, there was a sandbar over by channel marker 17. I ran high and ground on it the other morning at low tide. It's somewhere around 3 or 4 feet at low tide. So it's pretty shallow there.
All right. Yes, that's good. The dredge is coming.
No, it'll be, I don't know if it goes that far back or not.
Okay. Well, all right. Good to know. Okay, so does anybody else have any other questions for staff regarding the staff report? Here it's good. Okay, so do we have a motion to approve the consent calendar or the staff report?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Perfect, thanks. Okay, so moving onward, we're going to go on to the first item for business.
Charisse, we didn't vote on the minutes being approved, and we still need a vote for the status report to be approved.
Okay, can we do it together as voting on the consent calendar as one thing, or do we need to do them separately?
I'd do them separate since you motions and seconds separate.
Okay. All right. So, Lori, can you do a vote on the minutes, approval of the minutes?
Sure. Member Dowdy?
Approved.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
You're muted.
Oh, sorry. Approved. Yeah.
Member Vail?
Need to unmute yourself if you're muted, Chris.
I think you just muted. Yeah, there you go. Member Vail?
I hear something, like something's trying to happen.
Mm-hmm. Like it's back.
Can you hear me say I approve?
Okay.
Yeah.
Member Hansen?
Approve.
Okay, the motion passes.
Okay, so let's have a motion to approve the status report.
You already have that and a second.
Okay, all right, so now can we have a vote to approve?
Member Dowdy?
Approved.
Member O'Brien?
Approved.
Member Vail?
Approved.
Member Hansen?
Approved.
Okay, the motion passes.
All right. So next we're going to move on to business items. Our first one is B1 staff report for the update from the Boatyard Marine Services Facility Ad Hoc Committee. Eric, would you like to take it away?
Sure, since Dana, our usual chair, has resigned. So I think Member Vail is our second member on that committee. I think I don't have anything to report on the Boatyard Committee. Dana didn't pass anything along and I wasn't aware of any other activity he was doing. I think really most of its most recent activity has just been researching to see if there's any potential funding available to pursue the Boatyard further. I don't know if Member Vail has had anything different from Dana as well, but Go ahead, Chris.
I think I need to sit down with him, and I think I need to sit down with Ron and get up to speed, because I know what a boatyard could look like, and I know how drastically expensive it is, etc. What I don't want to do is go beating the bushes, reworking something that's already been done. So I kind of need to rifle some files before I'm completely up to speed. So I've got, in a sense, nothing for today.
Okay, Chris, I'm happy to sit with you and kind of give you the history of, maybe it goes back, a couple of decades. I'd be happy to kind of fill you in on that end. And I'm sure Ron and Dana will be happy to fill you in on everything they did when the, when the committee sort of was formed and what they did in the last 3 or 5 years. Okay. So I think the other order of business on this committee is, since we don't have a chair, Chris, I don't know if it looks like maybe you're the last man standing at this point, or if you want to do that, or if we want to wait until we get our two new members. Hopefully we get two new members. I know we've got one being interviewed, but hopefully Dina's seat can be filled too. So I don't know, I'll just leave it up to board discussion and see what your wishes are in regard to, continuing on with that committee and who should chair it.
Well, I'm fine to continue on with it and steer it for now. I'm just hoping we get some more talent involved. So if you want me to take the title, I'll take the title. If you want to wait, I'll still go and have the conversations with you and Ron and Dana that I intend to have.
Okay. Is there anybody on the board right now who is interested in joining this committee, ad hoc committee?
No, not me, not now.
All right. Jeremiah is not there. So I would say, since the two positions that are open at this time are definitely marine related, that it would be a smart move to wait until we at least get one new board member on board and decide then. But yeah, if I would, I would move to make Member Vail the chair for that committee right now, if anyone else seconds. Jane? Okay. All right. So should we take a vote on that? Lori? Yep. Okay. Should we wait till Jeremiah is in the room?
He almost have to.
Yeah, I think we need it for a quorum.
All right. Yeah.
All right, here he is. Hey, Jeremiah, we're going to vote on having Member Vail be the chair of the Marine Services Ad Hoc Committee. And so we've already motioned and seconded, but we're going to take a vote. So Lori, take it away.
Member Dowdy?
Aye.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Member Vail?
Yes.
And Member Hansen?
Yes.
Okay, your motion passes.
Okay, lovely. So now we're moving on to our second and last agenda item, which is B2, update from the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee.
Therese, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, what did I do wrong?
Matter of procedure. call for public comment if there was any on the vote.
Oh, all right. Anthony, do we have anybody in the queue for public comment? I'd like to open public comment at this time.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So we're now closing public comment and opening up agenda number B2 for the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee. Eric?
Yes. Do you or Chris want to do your committee report first? Or let me just jump in.
Jump in.
Okay.
Jump in.
Okay. Okay, so standing subcommittee generally looks, you know, mostly at the capital projects list, which Chris is still digesting. I think Sharice probably is as well. But I'm just going to give you a quick update and the status report of the FY 2021 budget, which is this year's budget, and then our projected, you know, economic impacts due to COVID pandemic on that budget, and then the current draft, basically the 30,000 foot highlights of our draft budget for the upcoming fiscal year, which we're right in the middle of developing as we speak. So this current fiscal year's budget, 2021, was developed right as COVID came online, basically. And so we made some pretty drastic cuts into this year's budget based on what we had seen in March, April, and May of last year with things being shut down. And at that point, we really didn't know exactly what was going to happen with the pandemic, and even what happened with the pandemic and then what we saw in the summertime with visitorship, it certainly wasn't what we had expected. But our budget, operating budget for this fiscal year, we cut back between just cutting back to pure austerity measures and reducing activities and you know, burning fuel and that kind of stuff, just physically cutting back on doing things, and also you know, cutting back on travel and conferences and everything else because most of them were shut down. We cut back on our budget about 25% on expenses because we were anticipating revenues to come in probably about 25% less in this current fiscal year. Surprisingly, last summer, as you know, was very crowded around here, I think for a couple of reasons. One, because people were still being encouraged to go outside and do things. In a beach town, that means going to the beach and going to a waterfront or going to the bay. And a lot of people did that. And then, unfortunately, all the mountains caught on fire. And so everybody that was going camping into the mountains all came to the beach. So we had a pretty busy summer last summer, and it seemed to have slowed down a little over the winter. But as you said, Sharice, earlier, you know, you had some of your best months ever. It's coming back gangbusters. So I suspect our revenues are going to come in probably normal, what we would have expected had COVID not occurred this year, which will be, you know, sort of a windfall in terms of our budget because our expenses were cut way back on. Although some things like our lifeguard program, we had originally planned to cut back on our lifeguard program and have less tower coverage. But early on in the summer, once we started seeing what kind of visitors we had, we couldn't do that just for public safety's sake. So we had to beef it right back up. So, you know, some of our items, we're going to overspend what we budgeted, but hopefully make up in another area. So the city's transient occupancy tax, basically the bed tax and sales tax, all those indicators have come back a lot better than anticipated. which will help make up for the loss. You know, the general fund took a pretty big loss early on, and I think we will too in our percent gross revenues. We'll still see the some decrease, but we've yet to see where they're actually going to come in. So we're optimistically hopeful that this year's budget will come in better than anticipated, but we don't know until July what our leaseholders have done until they, you know, once they come in and bring in all their lease revenue reporting. We have some, anecdotal information, like, you know, folks like Charisse, who are also business owners, that on the waterfront reporting what has happened, but we'll not see what's happened until July. So, but I think we'll do okay in this current year's budget, just based on what's happening, fortunately. Any questions on that? Okay. So this year's draft budget, for the coming year, I should say, for 21-22, we basically, we assume, again, we're still in COVID, right? But not really knowing what's going to happen, but knowing there's sure a lot of people domestically traveling and not internationally traveling. We're assuming our lease revenues will be about the same as what they were in the fiscal year prior to 2021, so 18-19, which were pretty robust. So we budgeted back at that level. So 1,600,000, I'm going to round these to give you exact numbers. These are our basic, where most of our revenues come from. 1,600,000 in leases and licenses. Most of them are leases. Licenses are things like Surfline has, we host a number of their cameras. So we have a license agreement with it. But the vast majority comes from our leases. We're 1,600,000 from our leases, about $194,000 from our slip fees. That's both from our permanent commercial slip fees and from our transient slip fees when we rent those out when our commercial fellows are gone. About $54,000 in North and South T Pier. I used to try and predict which pier would have more use, and one pier would always have more than the other. Basically, just take what we think we're going to get from both piers and divide them in half, and that comes about $54,000. $103,005 in mooring fees. That's from both our folks that own their own moorings and pay a monthly fee to the city of Morro Bay. Basically, it's a lease or a license. And then the folks that rent the moorings that we own directly, I think we've got about six or seven of those that we rent directly to boaters. So $103,005 in mooring fees. About $40,000 in launch ramp parking fees. Although that was based on our existing $6 per day. We're proposing to raise that up somewhat, so we're probably going to see more than what we've actually predicted in the budget for right now. And that's an increase, even at the old rate, 40,000 is more. We were seeing 29,000, 30,000, 31,000 for 4 or 5 years, and suddenly last year it boosted up. So I think we're going to see that for a couple of years with a lot more recreational boating going on. About 44,000 in our RV program. That is assuming that goes through September, which we currently have council authorization for. They authorize us to go through September to get a full year under our belt. We're currently working with Coastal Commission to either extend our emergency permit or get a full coastal development permit for that. So that's contingent upon Coastal allowing us to continue on with the program. So far, they've indicated positivity about that, but we'll see once we get to the commission what happens there. But that's what we're assuming for revenues from the RV program. And then about 70,000 of our revenues, siphoning those off to capital projects. So we've got enough revenues this year because we're getting some Measure E funding to offset some of our costs. Proposing to council, we've got a little bit extra to finally start putting away for some capital projects. And then on the expense side, so that's $2,150,000 of revenues. On the expense side, $2,054,000. The vast majority of that, no surprise, is $1,001,000 to personnel, because most cities, what they provide is services, and services take people. So $1,001,000 in personnel. About 61,000 in supplies. That's all the stuff we need to do what we do, whether that's boat parts or car stuff or dock repair, office equipment, all those sorts of different things that we need to operate. About 337,000 in services. That's basically when we need to hire folks to do things for us. Legal is a big chunk of that, our legal department, a big chunk of the services. And then about $135,000 in loan service, that's to the South T-Pier loan, which this is the last year of that loan payment. So effectively, that'll mean we'll have $135,000 more dollars in revenue to play with next year, next year's budget. So that's a pretty good deal. About $399,000 to the cost allocation and other transfers. So the cost allocation is our cost we incur from basically all the services we got from City Hall and recreation and these other departments to service our needs. And then about $16,000 in just sort of miscellaneous items. So as you know, we're on the positive side on the revenue curve over expenses, not by a lot. Like I said, we're proposing to fund some of our programs over on the Measure E funding, which is one of the main reasons we have a little bit extra to throw off into capital this year. So we're starting, knock on wood, see some light at the end of the tunnel. What we're proposing for Measure E, to go over to the revenues from the Measure E, new tax revenues, as our lifeguard program. This is on an annual basis, our lifeguard program, which costs about $81,000 per year. Our trash and disposal costs, that's again annually. We spend about $70,000 on morbid garbage for all of our trash service up and down the waterfront. And then a one-time allocation of $50,000 to the new Harbor Patrol vessel that we just got delivered from Port San Luis today to replace the firefighting system that's on that boat, which is old and outdated. So that's what we're proposing to the council to draw from the Measure E fund. And then we're staff are proposing about another $45,000 from the federal stimulus funding that the city got. I think we're getting about $1.98 million. Most of that's going to go back to refill the general fund emergency reserve, which was spent down quite considerably in the early months of the COVID pandemic. So we're proposing to fund a new vehicle, which we're kind of overdue for in one of our beach trucks. To replace that. And so the capital replacement spreadsheets I attached to the staff report. Again, that's generally what the committee has reviewed and helped me both prioritize and cost out. I know Ron, although he's off the Harbor Advisory Board, he's still helping staff, and I'm sure he's going to help committee members with that, trying to home in on that now that it looks like we're finally starting to see a little capital funding light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully we'll be able to start knocking some of these projects off. It's going to take us a while to build up a war chest, but hopefully we'll get there because things are, knock on wood, finally starting to look a little bit on the more positive side. Any questions?
Hey, Eric, can we spend some money painting some lines at the boat launch?
You mean down the ramp itself?
Yeah, well, you know how they used to be up on the parking lot? There were the parallel lines so that people could line up and go straight back.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think they're yellow maybe up at the top.
Yeah. That can't cost a whole lot.
And they have- we've got the – Roger's got his painter. We can either white or yellow. We've got yellow paint. We can do that. They probably got all scraped off from dragging boats up, doing the boat demos. Okay.
I just see boats going all kinds of directions coming down there.
Yeah, it helps to have a line. There were two, right? There was like one for the three lanes. In theory, there's a lane up the middle, so there are two lines on there, right?
I think two or three. I can't remember, but they're all gone now.
Okay.
And there are some potholes. Maybe we can fill some of those up.
Yeah, I should talk to you about some logistics of doing that. We've tried a couple of things. It's tough to get anything to stick in there. It's so salty.
Yeah. And we lost a boat over the bottom end of the launch last weekend?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a line marked on the dock where it ends. That's the minus tides, you know, the springtime minus tide / user error. It's a tough one.
Okay.
Any questions from Member O'Brien or Member Vail?
I'm here.
All right. Okay, so if there's no more questions, I can open public comment at this time. Anthony, do we have anybody in the queue?
Thank you, Chair Hansen. No, I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
All right. Okay. I will close public comment for this item. And do we have any discussion between board members? Anything that you guys want to talk about as far as that goes that hasn't gotten covered already? Nope. Okay. So, do we just vote to accept, or do we have to motion?
No, you don't need to accept those reports. There's no action on them, so.
Okay. All right.
Informational.
All right. We don't need to vote. So, okay. So, wow. That is it for business items. Now we need to talk about future agenda items. Can I read off the ones that we have currently? And I was thinking, I would like to know which ones the board members find as the priority in their mind, as far as talking points for our next agenda. Can I read them out, or I'll read them out, and then if you guys can look at them, they're on page 3 of the agenda from last meeting.
In the minutes.
Right, in the minutes. And think about which ones are your priorities, or number one in your mind as far as things that we should discuss at our next meeting. Possibly next meeting or in the near future. I just want to get an idea of what is the most important to everybody. So I'm going to read them out. We have goals and objectives, working waterfront designation. Measure D is another. Third is explore benefits of becoming a harbor or port district. Four is wind energy generation off the coast of Morro Bay. 5 is creation of an Embarcadero business district to fund harbor infrastructure. 6, review of TBID assessment funding. 7, Eelgrass committed to propose an action plan to be included in the GPLCP update. Second to last, discussion of the Castle Wind community benefit funds. And lastly, review of the RV camping program. So I wanted to go around the room and ask you each, what's the number one thing that's glaring out at you for that? So Council Member Dowdy, do you have a number one on that list?
Sure, and then the last one. Those are my concerns.
Wind energy and RV camping?
Yeah, just like an update on those.
Okay. All right.
We will likely be bringing RV camping to the HAB. In fact, we will be bringing RV camping to the HAB before we bring it to the council in September. So we don't have a July HAB meeting, right?
No. So we got June and August.
Either the August HAB or the September HAB, depending on when we bring it to the council in September. So the August HAB would probably make the most sense.
Do we know when the Coastal is going to act on it?
No, we're working with their staff now on how to take it and when to take it. They're usually a couple of months out at least.
August is fine with me.
Okay. And Board Member Vail, are you unmuted and able to tell us what you think is your number one?
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are unmuted.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get into the benefits of the Harbor Port District issue. And it seems as though it's not specific here, but we're talking about wind generation, but I'm not hearing about it anyplace else. Not picking up much information. There's also the battery issue, which is not listed, but it's not a fear of mine. It's just one of those things that all of a sudden a bunch of stuff is going to get approved or start construction, and I'm going to be standing around going, boy, I wish I'd had a chance to talk about that. So I'm still trying to get up to speed, but those are issues for me.
Okay. Did somebody have a question? I heard somebody's voice. Okay. All right. Member O'Brien, what's...
Yeah, actually, I agree with Chris exploring the benefits of becoming a harbor or a port district. I think next meeting will be my last before I go north, and I hope that's brief. Anyway.
Okay.
Without exhibiting my feelings, I hope that's brief.
Okay. All right. And since, and then for me, my number one would be the RV camping, which sounds like August would be a good one. So on that note, does anybody have any future agenda items that they would like to put forth? No? Okay.
I have one.
What? Okay.
Goals. We need to look at goals next month.
That's on my list. Okay. So, right. So, and so one of the things that I wanted to ask to be a future agenda item would be goals to recommend for council, like we talked with Council Member Addis. That's something that they're going to be wanting in the near future. So I move to make that a future agenda item.
So you don't need to move it. You don't need to make a motion in a second and go through the voting. You just need support from your other members or not.
All right. I haven't done that one yet. Do I have?
No, we didn't talk about that. You're right. So
no. So
the way it works is if you don't get any support, then it's not a future agenda item.
Okay.
You need at least one other person. If just one person supports it, then in theory, you're supposed to write the report and do all the homework. If more than one person supports it, then it's like a normal item.
And you get to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Would you like to support this as a future goal? Or a future agenda item? Okay, I got one from Chris.
Chris.
Anybody else?
What was it? I'm sorry, Charisse.
To make goals be one of our to be one of our future agenda
items. Yeah, right. I heard that. Yeah.
Okay. Is that a yes? You support it having to be an agenda item?
Sure.
Okay. And Member Dowdy?
Sure. Yeah, I needed one extra.
Oh, one extra? Okay. Well, now I know that you're okay with it. So that's good. Okay. So we have that. And then I did just want to mention, because we have it as the RV camping and it sounds like it's coming in August, to thank you. We got some agenda correspondence today. And so I'd like to thank them for putting in their letter to us. It's available online for them to look at as far as agenda correspondence. So we're all looking at that and thank you for your input. And then, Eric, we talked about a master plan for the Rock area. So it's, I don't know the exact jurisdiction. It goes from a little bit before Coleman Park. Does it go all the way to the bridge or does it go farther, like almost to the high school, as far as the master plan that you were discussing?
Well, so there used to be, so I think, well, I'll talk about sort of the area. There exists what's called the Northern Waterfront Improvement Plan. And that basically went from Coleman Beach out to the Rock on Coleman, then out Embarcadero to the creek and encompassed the Rock and the Rock parking lot in Coleman Beach and the road out to the creek. And so it was called the NWIP, the Northern Waterfront Improvement Plan. And there were several. We may have looked at it as the HAB. I don't remember. I wasn't running the department back then, but there was a plan that was adopted I believe by the council, but it was just a conceptual plan. It probably even had, and Gene will remember this, the last boatyard effort before the triangle lot was putting a boatyard haul out ways at Coleman Beach, and then the yard would be back out the dirt road towards the creek over on the right side between the road and the power plant fence. And so the NWIP had that in it. And then, you know, for a number of reasons, it never went anywhere. So that's kind of on the books. That is sort of the area, you know, and this is sort of getting into goals, which I don't want to get too deep into, but the rock, there's been talk of pay parking out there to fund improvements out there. You know, something like that, you don't really want to do piecemeal. You really need to master plan it to do it right. Whether you do anything or nothing, you need to have a master plan to guide the city's efforts and goals towards that. With the power plant, I'm sorry, with the sewer plant moving out of the site where it is now, out on Highway 41, just on the other side of the RV park, the city's going to be trying to figure out what to do with that. I don't think the lease at the RV park is up anytime soon. It's probably got at least maybe another 10 years left on it. But the sewer plant site is going to be, you know, essentially, I think there's still going to be a lift station there because there's some pipes that go there that they can't route anywhere else. But there's going to be a fair amount of real estate out there that the city's going to be deciding to do with. So one could conceive that area including the RV park as a larger, you know, Morro Bay rock master plan effort. I don't know, but I think probably where that belongs is in a master planning effort, which the city has not undertaken out there in any sort of holistic fashion in a long, long time. We've tried to piecemeal things in the last 10 years, but, you know, like this rock parking, like the parking bumpers, I mean, that's sort of a short-term fix for a long-term problem. And the long-term fix is to really figure out how to put some improvements out there if that's what the community wants to get it better organized and if any amenities or anything else need to go out there. So,
okay.
There you go. There you have it.
So trying to put that on our radar and look at it as something that the HAB can not necessarily do anything to, but at least review it. Would you say that a future agenda item could be reviewing and discussing a possible update of the NWIP, or because it sounds like the master plan is a big nut to crack in one sitting, Warren?
Well, if an effort were undertaken to master plan the rock, it wouldn't be the HAB doing it.
Right.
The HAB would have input to it. It would, you know, likely be, you know, some in-house effort put in it, but also some hired consultancy put in on it, and probably Planning Commission and Recreation and Parks Commission and other bodies, including the HAB, looking at it and providing input to the council, and the council ultimately, you know, making a decision. But like I said, that's a larger funded project that would have to be undertaken, and it would take the council, you know, probably making that a goal and deciding to move that forward and then funding it. You know, goals, as was brought up earlier by Councilmember Addis, is we're a little behind. Normally we would have done goals in the spring, kind of before budget time, but because of COVID and a number of other things, we weren't able to undertake goal setting before budget came along. And so we're going to be going after goals a little bit later this year. So,
okay, so at least it's on our radar in the discussion part, and then maybe we'll come to look at it again during the goals aspect. So that's already a future agenda item. So I'll leave it at that, unless anybody else has any future agenda items besides me. Hearing none. I adjourn.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay.
Deck.
All right. Everybody have a good night. Thank you.
Take a vote. All right. Thanks.
No, they said I don't have to take a vote.
No, well, somebody made a motion in a second. Now you got to take a vote.
Now I got to take a vote. Okay, Lori, can you take a vote, please?
Member Dowdy?
Aye.
Member O'Brien?
Okay, sounds good.
Member Mayo?
Aye, aye, aye.
Member Hanson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you, Anthony.
See you later.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening.
You too.